This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, and we beseech Him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with His salutations and compliments and mercy, and we ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and to allow us to benefit from that which He has taught us, and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. It's been several weeks since our last time together where we began this topic of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we said there is a difference between a person loving Allah and between a person being loved by Allah. So a lot of people can claim that they love, but the question that needs to be asked is, are you loved? So we began... And the first two gatherings, Jazakallah khairan, the first two gatherings we spoke about the first way to attain the love of Allah. And we said this is extrapolated from a list of 10 that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, who is a great scholar in Muslim history, and he authored a book called Madarij al-Salikin. And in it he collected 10 ways to attain the love of Allah. And so we mentioned the first one. Does anybody remember what it was? Who was here in the last time? I don't even remember when it was. It was before Ramadan. Was it just before Ramadan? Or yeah, I think it was the last week before Ramadan. Okay, so not too long ago. So you guys are not excused. I thought it was a long time ago. So what was the first one? Yes. That is absolutely a way to attain the love of Allah, but that's not the one that we discussed. Yes. Were you here? I want to hear from someone who was here. Who was here? He was here, but you don't... There you go. Now we found the people we got to punish. So who was here? So we can have a special punishment for you guys. No, there's no punishment. There's no punishment. There's only happiness. We said the first one is recitation of the Qur'an with reflection. قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ. You were here. Yeah, you are. Okay, I'll think about that. قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ. Reciting the Qur'an with pondering and with reflection. So he said that's the first one. So if you were here for that session and you forgot about it, that's okay. It's only normal for a human being to forget. Thankfully, it's been recorded, so you can go back and you can review it. And anybody who's joining us now for this series and they weren't here in the previous parts, you can find it on the IOC Masjid YouTube page. The lectures are there. So let's move on to the second one, just so that we can make progress, inshallah. And like I said, if you forgot or you missed something or you're just joining us, please check back with the previous videos. طيب. The second method that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions about how to attain the love of Allah is التقرب إلى الله بالنوافل. Can you pull the door behind you on your way in, please? Can you shut that door in after you? Jazakallah khairan. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much. May Allah reward you and bless you. And welcome. Thank you for being with us. التقرب إلى الله بالنوافل بعد الفرائض فإنها موصلة إلى درجة المحبوبية بعد المحبة. So Ibn al-Qayyim says in this sentence here, he says, coming close to Allah, and this will be the discussion, our discussion tonight, coming close to Allah with voluntary actions after fulfilling the obligatory ones. And he said, this is a means of transitioning from a station of loving to a station of being loved. One more time. Coming close to Allah through voluntary actions, after fulfilling the obligatory ones, this will be a means of transitioning from the station of loving to the station of being loved. التقرب إلى الله بالنوافل بعد الفرائض فإنها موصلة إلى درجة المحبوبية فإنها موصلة إلى درجة المحبوبية بعد المحبة. So let's begin at the beginning. We know first and foremost that fulfilling the obligations, the Arabic word for that we said here is فرائض, فرائض, which is plural, singular form is فرض, something that is obligatory, meaning there's no option. It's not up to me to decide would I like to do it or not. It's something I have to do. It's obligatory. Right off the bat, we know that this is the best way to come close to Allah. Somebody wants to have a relationship with Allah. Somebody wants to seek closeness to Allah. This is a common question. I want to feel closer to my Creator. I want to have a relationship with my Creator. I want to know my Creator. How? I want to love my Creator. I want my Creator to love me. Step one, fulfill the obligatory actions. Begin at the beginning. And this is very, very logical. How many of you here are parents? MashaAllah, many of you are parents. Okay? How many of you are grandparents? Okay, a few. Okay. So those of you that are parents, and those of you that are not parents, are you children? Okay, good. So you can all relate to the example. So if you are a parent, imagine if your child comes to you and you tell them, listen, going to school in the morning, there's no discussion about that. You got to go to school. Can your child wake up in the morning and you say, you know, today I'm just, nah, not today. Is that acceptable in your household? If it is, can you adopt me, please? No. But it's not optional, right? You wake up in the morning, you got to go to school. That's what you got to do. So imagine if your child comes to you with such intelligence and love and just blows you away and melts your heart and says, no, I don't want to go to school. But you know what? I'm going to clean my room all day today. You know what? I'm going to even clean your room. I'm going to do all the chores in the house, but I don't want to go to school. Is that acceptable? You're going to tell him, no, that's not acceptable. You say, but no, this is something you love. Don't you love it when I clean? Don't you love me when I clean the house? Yeah, I do. I say, okay, I will go to school, but I will clean the house. You say, no. Listen, first things first. You going to school, that's not open for discussion. The other stuff, when you come back from school, we'll talk about that. Right? So it's very logical. Fulfilling the obligatory actions is step one to coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fulfilling the obligations is fulfilling our part of the bargain with Allah, our deal. There is a deal, there is an agreement between the Creator and the creation. What's the deal? Allah says, you fulfill the obligations and my part of the deal is Jannah and protection from the hellfire. So this is a deal with Allah. And if we fulfill our part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Most High is the most truthful in speech. He doesn't make a promise in vain, or he never ever breaks his promise. So let us look at this incident that happened in the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Okay, we have Hadith Talha ibn Ubaidillah, the narration on the authority of the companion Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and this is recorded in the book of Bukhari and the book of Muslims. It's an authentic, agreed upon narration. He says, رَجُلًا أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ نَجْدٍ جَاءَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثَائِرَ الرَّأْسِ يُسْمَعُ دَوِيَ صَوْتِهِ وَلَا يَفْقَهُ مَا يَقُولُ حَتَّى دَنَى فَإِذَا هُوَ يَسْأَلُ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The companion says that a man came to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and he came from a place known as Najd. Najd is a region in the smack dab middle of the Arabian Peninsula, middle of the desert. There's not much water there, it's very hot, and it's not exactly a place you go to for a vacation, let's put it that way. Okay? And back in those days, there were no civilizations there like there are now, big cities and whatnot. The people there were a little rough around the edges because they were nomadic. They would move and follow where the water is. So when we come across these historical narrations from 1,000+ years ago that say that someone came from the place of Najd, what that means is we expect this person to come from Najd. And you know, he's just, his demeanor and the way he's presenting himself. So we realized he was asking the Prophet about Islam. Understand what he's saying. The guy's all over the place, you know? And he's loud, boisterous. And until he came close to the Prophet ﷺ, so we realized he was asking the Prophet ﷺ about Islam, about this religion of Islam. What do I have to do? So the Prophet ﷺ, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَمْسْ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَّيْلَةِ. They heard the Prophet ﷺ say, 5 prayers throughout the day and night. How many? 5 prayers throughout the day and the night. The man said, فَقَالْ هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرَهَا. He said, do I have to do anything else more than those 5? Or just 5? The Prophet ﷺ said, لا. You don't have to. إِلَّا أَن تَطَوَّعْ. Except if you are a volunteer. Okay. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَصِيَامُ رَمَضَانَ. And you got to fast the month of Ramadan. The man said, قَالَ هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرُهُ. He said, do I have to fast other than Ramadan? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا. You don't have to fast outside of Ramadan. إِلَّا أَن تَطَوَّعْ. Except if you want to volunteer. Okay. قَالَ وَذَكَرَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الزَّكَاةِ. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him about zakat, the obligatory charity, which applies to people that have a certain amount of wealth that has remained for a year. طيب. قَالَ هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرُهَا. He said, do I have to pay other than that zakah or just that zakah? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا إِلَّا أَن تَطَوَّعْ. No, you don't have to pay additional to that, except if you wish to volunteer. Okay, how many have we listed so far? 3? 3 or 4? 3? Okay. قَالَ فَأَدْبَرَ الرَّجُلُ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. So the Prophet ﷺ basically listed to him these pillars of Islam. And each time the man is asking, do I have to do more of that? And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, no, unless you wish to volunteer. So then after the Prophet ﷺ finished listing them, these to him, he got up and he walked away. So okay, I'm done here. And he leaves. We said he was a little rough around the edges, right? أَدْبَرَ الرَّجُلُ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. As he's walking away, they hear him talking to himself. And what is he saying? He says, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى هَذَا وَلَا أُنْقِصُ. He's walking away and he's like, I swear by God, I'm not doing one bit more than that. But I'm also not going to do any less than that either. Exactly what you told me, that's what I'm going to do. And so when they told the Prophet ﷺ, that's what he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْلَحَ إِن صَدَقْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, well, if he is telling the truth, he will succeed. If he is telling the truth, meaning he's going to do exactly that, he's not going to do any less, any more, then he will succeed. What does succeed mean? Meaning he will have Jannah. He will have the reward in the hereafter that Allah promised the believers. So here we have a person who committed, in front of the Prophet ﷺ, he committed that he's only going to do the fara'id. He's only going to do the obligatory actions. And the Prophet himself testified that if he in fact only does that, then he is successful. So we know, first and foremost, that fulfilling these obligations is fulfilling the agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling our part of the agreement with Allah. So somebody who loves Allah will do whatever Allah commanded them to do. If someone truthfully loves Allah, okay, then they will do what Allah commanded them to do. But now we here are talking about a higher station. We want to transition to the station of being loved. And so that is where you get a distinction. Now you got to up the game a little bit. So how do we do that? We look at another narration of the Prophet ﷺ, which is actually a statement of Allah. It's a hadith Qudsi, meaning this is Allah saying that, and it was on the tongue of the Prophet, on the Messenger ﷺ. And Allah says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says that my servant does not come close to me, does not attain closeness to me through anything that's more beloved to me than what I have made obligatory. Meaning, Allah is saying, the most beloved thing to me for my servant to do is to fulfill those obligatory actions. Okay, good. Then Allah says, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. Then Allah says, but once my servant fulfills those obligatory actions, they want to continue to come close to me. They continue to come close to me. They want more. They want a better relationship with Allah. So they start doing nawafil, which is the Arabic word that refers to voluntary actions. Plural of nafila. Refers to anything that is not obligatory, anything that is voluntary. Meaning, if you don't do it, you're not sinful, you're not held accountable. But if you do it, there's a lot of reward. So Allah says, once they start, they want to come closer. They did the obligatory actions and they want to go to step two. They want to come closer to Allah. So they start doing voluntary actions. What does Allah say will happen? Until I will love that person. So then they go from loving Allah to then taking it to the next step, being loved by Allah. Because they're now doing, on top of the obligatory actions, they're doing the voluntary actions. Allah then describes what happens to a person when they are loved by Allah. He says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. Allah says, so when they get to that station, when they are loved by Allah, Allah says, I will be the hearing by which they hear. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يَبْصِرُ بِهِ. And the vision by which they see. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And the hand by which they carry out their actions. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And the foot upon which that they walk and travel on. وَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if that servant asks something of me, I will give it to them. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if they ask my protection from something, I will protect them. All of that is what happens when Allah loves someone. One more time. Allah says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. When I love someone, I will be the hearing through which they hear. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّتِي يَبْصِرُ بِهِ. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يَبْصِرُ بِهِ. And the vision through which they see. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And the hand by which they carry out their work. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And the foot upon which they travel. وَإِذَا سَأَلَنِي وَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if they ask me of something, I will give it to them. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if they seek my protection from something, I will protect them. So how many results? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 byproducts that Allah mentions here in this narration of a person being loved by Allah. What does it mean, the vision by which you see and the hearing by which you hear and the hand by which you do your work and the foot by which you travel? In summary, to keep it short, what it means is, it means that these actions, these faculties, these resources that Allah gives us, they will have blessings. So there will be more benefit, there will be more barakah. We already have ears. You know, there's people that Allah does not love, they can hear. There's people Allah does not love, they can see. And their hands are working and their feet are working. Right? But when a person is loved by Allah and they have these faculties, then they are able to do more with them, and the actions that they do are blessed. And they will be protected by Allah. You know, one of the, it is mentioned that رَجُلٌ مِنَ السَّلَفِ, in the early generations, there was an elderly man who was very old in age. Very old in age. But people were so amazed how this person was so strong. You know, usually when people get older in age, their eyesight weakens, or maybe their hearing weakens, or maybe, you know, their body has less strength. That's normal. That's part of the process of human life. But this man is so old, but just incredibly able. And so they asked him, they said, "Man, what did you do to have this? Have all of this strength and health?" He said, "حَفِظْنَاهَا فِي الصِّغَرِ فَحَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ لَنَا فِي الْكِبَرِ." He said, "In our youth, in our young age, we protected these faculties. So Allah preserved them for us in old age." Allah preserved them for us in old age. So this is, Allah mentions these different faculties because these are things that we use every single day to make it relatable, to understand. How important is your hearing for you, and your vision, and your hands, and your feet? We would have a hard time functioning on a daily basis without these faculties. So having the blessings of Allah in these blessings, in these strengths and abilities, is very important. And it's a byproduct of being loved. Main part of this narration that relates to our discussion is Allah began by saying that I love when my servant comes close to me with the obligatory actions. But then the servant wants to keep coming close to Allah, so what they start doing is they start doing voluntary actions, and then Allah says, then I will love them. You know, voluntary actions are important also because nobody here is free from mistake. Nobody here is free from some kind of imperfection or some kind of forgetfulness, right? And so a lot of times in the process of fulfilling our obligatory actions, we might have made some mistakes here and there. Sometimes we recognize, sometimes we don't. You know, sometimes you do something and then you don't even realize. Someone comes up to you and says, hey, I think you missed, you know, one rak'ah there in that salah. You're like, what? I didn't even realize. Sometimes we make these mistakes, we don't even realize. So the voluntary actions, actually what they do, one of the purposes that they serve, in addition to reward and attaining the love of Allah, they also serve as a way of complementing and completing any deficiencies or any mistakes we might have had in carrying out the obligatory actions. So there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a narration of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, which is recorded in many books of the of hadith, and the scholars said that it is sound, where the Prophet ﷺ says on the Day of Judgment that Allah will tell the angels, when people's book of deeds and record of deeds will be available, Allah will say, "Unzuru hal li 'abdi min tatawwu'." Look in the book of deeds of my servant and see if they have any voluntary actions that they did. And Allah says, so that will complete bihi al-fariḍa. That will complete the obligatory actions that might have had some deficiency or some mistakes. Now, with regards to our obligatory actions, we also are on different levels. Just like how we mentioned in the first method, reciting Qur'an, people are on different levels with their relationship with the Qur'an. With the obligatory actions, people are on different levels as well. So we mentioned a verse in Surah Fatir, and it applies here as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the believers are on three levels. He said, وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ مِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Some people are oppressing themselves, meaning they have deficiencies. There are certain obligations that they're not carrying out. ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. They're harming themselves. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And some people are like teeter-tottering. You know, just balancing somewhere in the middle. They go a little bit, and then they're back and forth. But they're staying in the middle. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And then some of them go the extra mile and they are hastening to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through al-khayrat, through different avenues of goodness. And so that applies to all of us. We are on different levels as well. Now, if we find ourselves that we are in the level of ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, we are in the level where we are harming ourselves because of our own deficiency, we need to get up to the next level. And if we find ourselves that, you know what, alhamdulillah, I'm doing my obligatory actions, but I'm just getting them, then we need to then take that to the next level as well. So based on the level we are on, we start working towards the next level. And there should always be some amount of desire for improvement, even if it is small. Even if it is small. Let's look at some examples of nawafil, of voluntary actions. First of all, we have voluntary actions of salah. Of salah. So, let's hear from you guys. What are some voluntary actions of salah? Let's begin with the most recommended. The most recommended. Yes. The two rak'ahs before Fajr. Anything else? So actually, that's one part of it. Let's look at all of the encouraged voluntary prayers throughout the day. And the scholars have counted them to be how many units of prayer? 20? 12? You sure? Okay, let's count together. Sister said it's 12. Let's see. How many are there? Two units of prayer before Fajr. Before the early pre-dawn prayer. Okay, that's two. What's next? Okay, we talked about Fajr. Let's go to the next prayer. Dhuhr. What do we have? We have four units of prayer before the Dhuhr. Before the obligatory Dhuhr, midday, noon prayer. And two after. That's a total of six. Plus the two in the morning, that's a total of eight. Okay? Then, go to the next prayer. Asr. The late afternoon prayer. Anything there? No. Two before? Who said two before? You said two before? Is that part of the 12 or that's additional to the 12? Okay. So we'll skip it if it's additional. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Maghrib. The post-sunset prayer. Do we have anything there? So we have two after. So we had eight plus two, that is 10. Alright, and then we go to the last prayer of the day, the Isha, the late night prayer. We have two after, so 10 plus two is 12. Jazakallah khair. So you're right. Thank you. So these 12 extra voluntary units of prayer are referred to as sunnah mu'akkada or al-rawatib. These are the most encouraged of the voluntary. So even within the voluntary actions, there are levels. Even within the voluntary actions, there are levels. There are some that are highly encouraged, and there are some that are encouraged to a lesser degree. But these are highly, highly encouraged. Is there a particular reward for these? What is it? Yes, thank you. So the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith here, which is recorded in the book of Muslim, it's authentic hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the authority of Habiba, "من صلى في يوم وليلة إثنتي عشرة ركعة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة." The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said that whoever prays these 12 voluntary units of prayer throughout their day and their night, then because of that, Allah will build for them a house in Jannah. Allah will build for them a house in Jannah. So if you have a house in Jannah, that means you're going to end up in Jannah, because you got to be there to be in your house. So it's a virtuous reward. Okay, good. Anything additional to these 12? We're still talking about salah. We're still talking about voluntary prayers. Anything else? What is it? Ishraq prayer? What does Ishraq mean? Ishraq means sunrise in Arabic. Ishraq means sunrise in Arabic. So now we're moving to the next level. with involuntary, we're moving to the next level, which is highly encouraged, but less than the first category. And amongst them is what the sister is talking about. The name that we have, the Prophet ﷺ referring to this prayer is Salatul Duha. Salatul Duha. What does Duha mean? Duha means the soft early morning light. You know, the sun, when it first rises, it goes through different phases. In the beginning, it's a gentle light, and then it becomes more and more and more bright until it's really bright. And then it goes and continues getting softer and softer until sunset. So duha is after sunrise. How much after sunrise? 15 minutes? Anybody say something else? 10 minutes? So the way that we measure the time for the duha is the Prophet ﷺ taught us that the sun will be qayda rumhin, that the sun will be a length of a spear over the horizon. So I don't have a spear, so I don't know if you guys have a spear. I don't have one. But what you can do is you could take a... if you guys want to do this, it's actually kind of fun. You should do it. It's nice. You know, we're so used to everything being calculated for us. We're so removed from nature and like the sun and the moon. So do this. Do this with your kids. It'll be very nice. Go out somewhere, pray Fajr, and watch the sunrise. Right? Go out somewhere nice. Go to a hill somewhere, a park, and pray Fajr there. Right? Make sure it's legal for you to be there at that time. Some parks open after sunrise. Please don't do anything illegal. It's on camera. Khalas, we said it. Okay? And wait for sunrise. Okay? And after sunrise, you will notice that the sun is getting a little bit above the horizon. So if you have a stick with you, like a long stick, okay? I don't know how long a spear is. I've never used one, but you can, maybe what? It's like a broomstick maybe? Yeah? Would you say it's like a broomstick? A tall stick, you know? A tall stick. You don't have a spear either, do you? Okay. So you can hold it up and you put the bottom part where the horizon is. And once the sun reaches that top part, now you know it's time for duha. Now you know it's time for duha. That's the exciting way of figuring out. You want the boring way? Just wait 15 minutes. That's the boring way. Yes. No. You do not pray after Fajr until this time. Okay, let's not talk about what individual people do. Let's talk about Islam. Okay? So we know the Prophet ﷺ taught us that after Fajr we don't pray. What we do is we wait until the sun comes up at that point and then you can start praying. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So wait a few minutes after sunrise. Yes. What is the time limit for duha? Yeah. So duha extends, so duha is sandwiched between two times where we're not supposed to pray. Okay? There are three times of the day where you are not supposed to pray. Not. What are those three times? Sunrise, when the sun is at its zenith, when it's in the middle of the sky, meaning an object does not have a shadow in either way. Okay? And when the sun is setting. Those are three times of the day when the Prophet told us not to pray. Okay? So sunrise, we have Fajr, which is before sunrise. Right? When the sun is in the middle of the sky, we have Dhuhr, which is after that. So the sun moves, and so an object will begin to have a shadow, then it's time for Dhuhr. Okay? So we want to stay away from these two times. The times in between that, right? So if you add 15 minutes after sunrise, if you subtract 15 minutes before the sun is in the middle of the sky, that is the window for duha. That is the window, the time frame for the duha prayer. So it shouldn't be delayed all the way until you come close to duha. It should be prayed in that morning time. You don't have to pray it right away when the sun is above the horizon, which is like 15 minutes after sunrise. You can pray it at, let's say somebody wants to pray at 10 a.m. Can they do that? Yeah, absolutely. There's no problem with that. So that is the duha prayer. It's often referred to as ishraq prayer, but the proper name for it is duha. Ishraq means sunrise. Is there a particular reward for this one? What is it? A reward of Hajj and Umrah. Let's look at this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. In this narration, which is recorded in the book of Muslim. It's authentic narration. Abu Dharr narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُصْبِحُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَا مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٌ فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٌ وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٌ وَكُلُّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٌ وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٌ وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٌ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٌ وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every single one of you, when you wake up every morning, you owe a charity for every single joint in your body. Did you know that? How many joints do you have in your body? Huh? 365? Really? Do we have any doctors here? Any physical therapists? No? That's interesting. It'd be nice to ask them. So I've heard this number before, 360, 365. The point is there's a lot of them, right? There's a lot. There's so many joints just in our hand. One, two, three, that's just one finger. So many throughout the body. And imagine if, you know, one of our teachers in Medina, he used to say this. He said, imagine if you cannot see, any position you find yourself in, some joint is moving some way. Imagine if you could not move any of your joints. Anybody, what was that book that they made into a movie? Was it The Wizard of Oz? The Wizard of Oz? Yeah? Anybody remember The Wizard of Oz? Yeah? What was his name? The Tin Man? You have to keep putting oil? He can't move. You got to put oil in his joints, the Tin Man. If you don't know what it is, you know, it's just a storybook that a lot of kids that grow up here read. Anyways, so these joints are very important. Imagine if you couldn't move any of your joints. That would be a very painful life, if you can even call it that. So they're really amazing. And this is just one of an ocean of tiny blessings that we use every single day and we don't even realize. One of our teachers, he said, how many times did you blink today? I was like, what? I don't know. He said, imagine if you went the whole day without closing your eyes and you slept at night without closing your eyes. You know, what would happen? It would be, your eyes would be irritated. There would be really dryness. It would be burning. And we don't even think about it. Who thinks, okay, blink, blink, blink. Wallahi, what an arduous life that would be. So many little things that we have every single day of our life that we're just completely not thinking about. So we need to be thankful to Allah for these blessings. So the Prophet ﷺ said, every morning when you wake up, you need to do some sadaqah. You need to give some charity for every single one of these little joints. How do you do that? You gotta pay money? Allah, pay up. Imagine if you had to do that. Every morning you gotta pay money for every joint in your body. How would that be? I don't think people would like that very much. But no, this deen has been made easy for us. So the Prophet ﷺ said, every subhanallah is a sadaqah. Every time you say subhanallah, that counts as a sadaqah for you. Every time you say alhamdulillah, that counts as a sadaqah for you. Every time you say la ilaha illallah, that counts as a sadaqah for you. Anytime you remind someone to do something good, amr bil ma'roof, that's a sadaqah. Anytime you remind someone to stay away from something that's evil, that's a sadaqah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, and what takes the place for that as well is two rak'ah. Just two rak'ahs. That you pray at the time of duha. At the time of duha. Allahu Akbar. Two rak'ahs. That'll take what? 5 minutes? Will it take 5 minutes? You know, 5-6 minutes, if that, right? And you have now paid the charity for every single joint in your body. Imagine how comfortable you will walk on that day, knowing that you've paid off every joint in your body. That's how we protect these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessings of Allah, they came to us without us asking for them. Who made dua in the womb of their mother for 365 joints? I didn't, you know. I don't really remember what was going on back then, but I know I didn't. But you did. But Allah gave it to you. And you know what? Just as it came with such ease, it can also go as well. So one of the ways of protecting these blessings is by doing these voluntary actions, doing these nawafil. Okay, one more about salah or we move on to the next. These are examples. Another one about salah or we move to the next category. Yes. Duha? Yes. So these ones that we are talking about are the voluntary salah, which are done individually. They're not done in congregation. The congregational voluntary prayers that we do as a group is like Taraweeh in Ramadan, or like the Eid prayer, the Eid celebration prayer. Those are done in congregation. Otherwise, these 12 rak'ahs in the day and night, the duha, for example, these are done individually. Individually, they're not done in congregation. Yes. Okay, Qiyamul Layl, night prayer, night prayer. Let's get more specific than that. More specific. The Witr prayer, the Witr prayer. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he used to like to make the number of voluntary units of prayer in the day an odd number. An odd number. So we mentioned 12. 12 is an even or an odd number? It's an even number. So the Prophet ﷺ would conclude his day with witr, with an odd number of voluntary prayers. So that could be 1, or 3, or 5, or 7, or 9, or 11, etc. He would conclude his day with this odd number. And he used to say, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرِ فَأَوْتِرُوا يَا أُمَّةَ الْقُرْآنِ. He used to say, Allah is witr. Witr means an odd number. Allah is one. One is an odd number. Right? It's only one. It's not two or four or anything like that. Allah is one. And he loves this number, this odd number. Right? So pray your witr, O nation of the Qur'an, O community of the Qur'an. So this was also something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very keen about. How much time do we have? Okay. We don't have too much time. Let's move to the next category of siyam, of fasting. So what are some voluntary fasts that are voluntary, extra, that are very much encouraged? Bismillah. Yes, all the way in the back. Fasting on the day of Arafah. Yes. What is the day of Arafah? The day of Arafah is the 9th day of which month? Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah is which month out of the year? 12th or 11th? 12th. Dhul-Hijjah is the 12th month of the lunar calendar. Arafah is the 9th day. It's the day before Eid al-Adha. It's the day before the second Eid celebration. We have two Eids in the year. This is the day before the second one. So people that are making the Hajj, people that are making the pilgrimage, you know, they will actually be in a place called Arafah or Arafat. They will be at that place. And they'll be making a lot of dua. If any of you are blessed to go for Hajj, inshallah, may Allah make that a reality and a dream come true for you all. Say Ameen. Then you will go to this place, Arafah, and inshallah we could do that together. That would be really nice. And we will spend that day there making dua. Now, if you're not making Hajj, you're here at home, what do you do that day? You fast on that day. You fast on that day. Is there a particular reward for fasting that day that we know about? Is there? What is it? Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, يُكَفِّرْ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ, that it will expiate the sins of the previous year and the year to come from fasting that day of Arafah. That's Ashura. For Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ said the previous year, Al-Madiyah. So that's fasting the day of Arafah, the 9th day of the 12th month. Is there any other days? The 6 days of Shawwal, which is the month that we are in now. Right? Shawwal is the 10th month. Last month was Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sama Ramadan wa atba'ahu bi sittin min Shawwal, fa ka'annama sama ad-dahra kullah." وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and then follows it up with 6 days from Shawwal, it is as if he has fasted the whole year. So those 6 days from this month are virtuous days to fast. Anything else? Ashura. You mentioned Ashura. When is the day of Ashura? It is the 10th day of Muharram, which is the first month. Muharram is the first month in the lunar calendar. On the 10th day, that is a day that the Prophet ﷺ fasted, and he recommended his ummah to fast. And that was the day that he said it will expiate the sins of the past year and the year to come. So those are some examples of virtuous days to fast. Anything else? Mondays and Thursdays. Good. So the Prophet ﷺ used to like to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. As a matter of fact, he said, تُعْرَضُ الْأَعْمَالُ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَالْخَمِيسِ وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith that the angels take up the record of deeds to Allah on the day of Monday and on the day of Thursday. And he said, so I love to be fasting on that day when the angels will present the record of my deeds to Allah on that day. So Mondays and Thursdays, that is something virtuous. Those are virtuous days to fast. No, it can be either or. And the ideal situation is that they are both. I want to conclude, because we have to wrap up, I want to conclude with this very beautiful hadith. I know we mentioned a lot of things here today. So somebody might say, man, you gave me too much information. So we're going to conclude with something very easy, and I would like for everyone to memorize it. Can you guys commit to that, inshallah? I promise it'll be easy. Okay. Abu Huraira, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith which is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, "Awsani khalili sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi thalath." He said, "My khalil, my close beloved companion." This is what he referred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. You know, Abu Huraira, he was not Muslim for a very long time during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He only had a few years with the Prophet ﷺ before the Prophet died. But yet he has narrated more narrations than any other companion. Why? Because he said, all of you guys were busy doing X, Y, and Z, I stuck with the Prophet. He went right, I went right. He went left, I followed him. And he memorized everything that came out of his mouth. Intense, genuine love. So he said, my Khalil recommended for me three things. How many? Three things. You guys promised to memorize them. You going to memorize them? طيب. بِصِيَامِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ مِّن كُلِّ شَهَرٍ. Number one, to fast. Voluntary fast. Everything we're talking about here is voluntary. To fast 3 days from every month. To fast 3 days from each month. Only 3 days. The month has 30 days, just 1/10 of that. Just 3 days. Fast 3 days. Okay, that's number one. Number two, وَرَكْعَتَيْ الضُّحَى. And two rak'ahs of duha. You can pray two, you can pray four, you can pray six, you can pray up to eight. But he said, رَكْعَتَيْ الضُّحَى, just two rak'ahs of duha. Right? 15 minutes after sunrise, or any time in the morning, before midday, before noontime. How many rak'ahs? Two. So what was number one? Fasting 3 days from each month. And number two? Two rak'ahs of duha. And the last, وَأَنْ أُوْتِرَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَنَامُ. And to pray witr before I go to sleep. To pray the witr before I go to sleep. Like we said, it can be one rak'ah, it could one unit of prayer, it could be three. At least one. At least. You know? And it's okay, you can just read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Not a problem. You can read this month. But just one rak'ah, at least. So these are three things. Number one, fasting 3 days from every month. We'll get to that. Number two, two rak'ahs of duha. And number three, to pray witr before going to sleep. How easy are these three things? Are they difficult? Billahi alaykum. Somebody here tell me those are difficult? I don't think anybody will say those are difficult. The most difficult probably is fasting those 3 days. But even that is just 3 days. You guys just fasted a whole month. Yeah, three days. Right? It's voluntary. But this is, Abu Huraira is saying, the Prophet gave him this prescription. If you know that someone got a prescription from the Prophet, wouldn't you want to have that prescription too? Abu Huraira got this prescription, this recommendation. The Prophet told him, hey, Abu Huraira, listen, 3 things I think you should really do. 1, 2, 3. And now Abu Huraira's passed that prescription on to us. So it would do us good to follow that recommendation. 3 very simple things. The brother is asking about these 3 days of the month. Are they recommended to be certain days of the month? Yes, they are. They are recommended to be the 3 middle days of the month. They are referred to as Ayyamul Bid, as the 3 white days, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of the month, of the lunar month. They are recommended to be of these days. Some of the ulama said, if you fast other 3 days, that still fulfills this recommendation of the Prophet ﷺ. It's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And as we said, it's voluntary, so there's no need to make a debate out of that. But yes, they are recommended to be those days. So everybody, you guys all memorized those 3 things? Or someone didn't memorize them? Everyone got it? Khalas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to follow the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us with the motivation and the strength to carry out these simple deeds that yield a huge reward. May Allah make us of those who listen, follow the best of what they hear. May Allah make us of those who love Him, and make us of those whom He loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with the Messenger in the highest levels of Jannah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا. And we will continue with the list of 10, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the next coming gathering next month, inshaAllah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.